Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 5 Minute Major podcast of St. Louis. A late Merry Christmas to you all and a Happy New Year. It's our 19th episode. It's almost 2025. Time's flying, man. And the hockey season's flying and we hate it. We want everything to slow down. but we do love bringing hockey news to you every week, except for the last. We wanted to take some time for family and Christmas and all that. So hopefully everyone had a great one. And hopefully the new year starts off with a bang. Of course, with the Winter Classic. When you guys hear this, it will be tomorrow, the 31st. We can't wait. You know, it's just an exciting time for hockey. Blues fans are a little frustrated. I think we want to see some more win streaks, some more gumption against bad teams, power play goals, maybe. But we'll get to that. Around the league news, World Junior updates for you today. Lots on the Blues prospects and stuff. It's Josh has a bunch of information that he's going to share. And then we'll preview the Winter Classic and talk about 2025 for the podcast itself. Josh, how are you doing? How was your Christmas? What was the best gift you got? Blues related or hockey related?
You know, I got some good Winter Classic stuff. Got the beanie, got the t-shirt. So I'm all decked out and ready for Winter Classic. Big fan of my scarf I got here, you know. So we got a nice St. Louis Blues scarf here. So I'll be able to rep it, stay nice and warm as the chilly weather comes our way. But yeah. It was a good Christmas. A lot of time with family, and that was the most important thing to me. So I'm happy to be here, happy to talk some hockey. I know in the world of hockey, there's been a lot going on, like you said, and only more to come.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. We're wearing the same hat. If you're watching, Josh and I are wearing the same Billiken's hat that we got.
Series 6, baby.
We love Series 6. Shout out them.
Yeah,
go get all of their merch. All of their stuff is super cool. If you want to look cool like us.
And the best part, it's a local company, folks. Support local. St. Louis owned, St. Louis run, Sporting St. Louis. We love it. I'm wearing a shirt from them. I got a hat from them. We love it.
Awesome. All right, let's get into hockey. Just quick, as we always do, we're going to go around the league with just a few things. And then we'll hop into recaps of the Blues game since we've been gone, which is a few. Yeah. We'll try and go fast for you guys so we can get to the juicy stuff like World Juniors and the Winter Classic. Okay, let's start. Mackenzie Blackwood signs a huge deal, like insane, in my opinion. Five years. He's getting 5.25 average. You know what? He deserves it. He played really good in San Jose. I have his stats here in his five games that he's played for the Avalanche, and he's 4-1 with a 940 save percentage and a 1.82 goals against average. So I
think a little bit better than Georgiev, just a little there.
I think having a better team and a literal average goalie, like, this is all they need, an average goalie. And now they're like definitively third place in the Central by like two games.
Yeah.
So welcome back, Colorado. We didn't miss you.
But you can go back to where you came from if you really want to, because that's where you deserve to be.
God, we can't stand it. They're so good. I just give props to him for showing out and showing this team that he's worth it. We mentioned it before that they were already in talks with him, like immediately when they traded for him. They were like, we want you. Like, you're the guy. I mean, if you have that confidence from like Joe Sakic and like the other leaders of Colorado, you're probably going to start playing better. Shout out to Wedgewood as well.
Yeah.
4-2, 9.32 save percentage, a 1.93 goals against in the shutout as a backup for Colorado. So
they've swapped their goalies out completely. Georgiev and Anunin gone. bring in the Wood brothers essentially here of Blackwood and Wedgwood, and I guess you get yourself into a playoff spot.
It's unreal. It's really unreal. It's not like they've ever been bad. It's just that their goaltending was so abysmal. The confidence was out the window. All they needed was literally they could have had Joe Schmo back there as a new face and it would have worked. But shout out to the Wood brothers. Good for them. And shout out Colorado, man. Like, you guys have stuck around for like what, a long time now.
Yeah, like we're talking almost 10 years of solid play.
Pretty decent. Like, back in the Duchesne days, you were starting to show up, and then you drafted McKinnon, and that was it. So, yeah,
the team is going. Still, and I think for them, and I think we'll talk closer to the deadline of what does the future of Rantanen look like. So, I mean, is he going to be a Colorado Avalanche at the deadline? It's hard to say. But
yeah, he's going to cost you probably 13, 14 million. I mean, he's literally the sneakiest best player. Like, he's top five player in the league. Yeah. It's, no one talks about him just because he's on the team with the other two of like the top two players in the league, McKinnon and Makar. So good for them, man. Good for Joe. I'm the biggest Joe Sakic fan. I used to like the Avalanche before they started pissing me off, you know? So good for them. All right.
That being said, though, and happy news, Alexander Ovechkin is back from injury. I think it was like 40 days he was gone, and he broke his leg, and now he's back playing like he didn't miss a beat. He scores number 870 tonight, picking it up right where he left off, and I love to see it. I love seeing Alex Ovechkin be able to do these things. And I think for us, the recognition of how many more games do we get to have of this stud, and you can't take it for granted. So really good to see Alex Ovechkin back in and just picking up right where he left off. He is built different, folks. Yeah. He's not human compared to a lot of players. A lot of players would have been out for the year. He's back. He's just doing his thing, and he's going to carry that team right into the playoffs.
He's Russian. We've mentioned before, these Russians really know how to recover, or they have certain things that no one knows about that they take and it helps them. I'm just going to say it's the Dr. Pepper and pasta for Ovechkin.
It's the Dr. Pepper, folks.
We won't get into the Russian gas that, you know, Chicklets always mentions. I love Ovi. He's the best goal scorer ever, and he's going to break the record. And he might as well try to go for 1,000.
Yeah.
Like, why not? All right, quick one. Kaprizov was day-to-day like a couple days ago. I don't know if he played recently.
Yeah, I have not
seen. I kept this in here because I wasn't sure. But he was considered day-to-day a couple days ago. So we'll see how he's doing. I mean, the Wild are still pretty steady. They kind of slowed down like the Jets did, but they're still pretty steady. So good for them.
Talking about another superstar, Austin Matthews, out, still injured. It's an undiagnosed injury that we're hearing. It's the lower body, I believe.
No, or, they said it's upper body.
Upper body. So he is progressing, and I think that'll lead to some questions when Four Nations comes around. Is he going to play in it? Is it better for him to sit out and get healthy? I think there are some questions on a lot of players when Four Nations comes around about that.
Yeah, and I think he wants to play. Like, there's no doubt he's the captain of the team, and I'm sure he wants to play for USA too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just this weird chest. I feel like it's a chest thing, like a sternum. Yeah. You know how Kachuk had a sternum thing, and he was really struggling that last, not the cup before, but the cup before the last one. Like, it could be something like that where he. I don't know. You never know where his breathing's impeded.
It's messing with everything. You're using all those muscles to shoot. Like, so much goes into that. So hopefully he's back soon.
Who knows? We don't know. It's all speculation. And you know how Toronto is. They try and keep everything under wraps so the media doesn't lose their minds up there. All right, last one. Another Canadian team. Quinn Hughes and Pedersen are out. Suddenly, Tockett said it was like an unknown timetable a couple days ago. He said, quote, day to day or week to week. I'm not sure. So your captain and your onesie are out right now for Vancouver. Yeah. They still somehow stole a point their last game. Just Connor Garland. I saw this guy
is a workhorse.
He's one of those players that you love to have on your team. And you hate to see him when you're on the team. You know, he's the perfect hockey player. Good for him. He's got an A on his chest now, by the way, in Vancouver.
He's a Rick Tocchet kind of player, though.
Yeah.
Nitty gritty, do the work, and gets rewarded.
He's the type of player that Toronto should go for, besides like instead of Ryan Reeves. He should have gone after a guy like that.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying Toronto's bad, just say it. But yeah, we'll see what Vancouver does. They're kind of on the brink, man. They might not make it. Like, the second wild card right now is Dallas because Colorado keeps winning. So the Blues are like 3 out or 4 out. It's not looking good right now. We need to start winning. You know?
I mean, currently Vancouver's sitting in the first wild card spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 42 okay. points. So they have 42. And Dallas has 41. Calgary has 41. Utah has 38. And the Blues, who could have been 1 point out, still are sitting at 38. But we'll get into that here in a second.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah, good for Utah. All right. We'll see. I'm mistaken. Sorry, Vancouver fans. you guys are still okay, but you never know, man. There's like Calgary's chomping. Utah's chomping at the bit right now, too. It's just like you never know. And maybe Dallas goes on a run and Colorado drops out of the three spot. Now they're in the wild card one and you're in the wild card two. It could just happen just like that. Yeah. So that's the craziness with the NHL. You mentioned the Blues. Let's just hop right into it. I'm hesitant, but these first three that we're going to talk about were just like not good. Go back to December 17th. We were at home versus the Devils. You really wanted me to go to this game because you couldn't go because it was neighbors bobblehead night.
Yeah,
but I couldn't go. So we
thank
couldn't
the Lord
go.
You didn't because it was a terrible game. So
God, I sold these tickets. Dude, I asked so many people to go. I was like, at the end of the day, I'm watching it. I'm like, thank God I didn't go. 4-1 loss. We were outshot 28-20. How are you only shooting the puck 20 times on net? I will say the Devils' defense was like literally lights out. They're the best team in the East, in my opinion. And we were less than 40% on faceoffs yet again. Why? We need Foxa back. I'd rather have slide Foxa in for Sonny and let Sonny sit for the rest of the year and have him as our 3C and let Walker take faceoffs on the fourth line. Anything.
I agree. Yep.
Anything. That was just a brutal one. Bad game. Let's see. Yeah, 2 days later, we went down to Florida to face Tampa, shout out to Tampa, too. We said shout out Colorado. Shout out Tampa. They've been good for like 15 years.
They just keep doing it, too.
They're so good. We lost to them 3-1. It was a little bit better. We outshot them. 32-18. We won 56% on faceoffs. Jordan Binnington was bad. He let in 3 goals on 11 shots. Hofer came in, stopped the rest of the shots, and gave us a chance. We just couldn't score because Vasilevsky. Better game. Just bad goaltending. Flopped. You know.
Yeah. If we could have had an ounce of the goaltending that we had last year with this team, we'd be in a playoff spot. But it's one or the other right now. It's feast or famine for this team.
Yeah, it's consistently inconsistent, which was the title of one of our episodes, man. It's just the way it is. Just a tough loss. And then we had to do a back-to-back. We road tripped up to Miami to face the defending champions. We took this one to OT. Lost 2-1. Everyone knows Barkov did it himself. He made Holloway look stupid, then made Shen look stupid, who took a bad penalty, and then he literally scored the game-winning goal on the power play in OT.
Jake Neighbors
goes
out in this game from a dirty hit from Sam Bennett, which,
good,
better, and different. Hit. It was a dirty hit, and I love Sam Bennett. Don't get me wrong.
It's a great play.
Dirty hit, did not get disciplined, and no penalty on the call.
And at least a two. Just give us a 2 minute on that.
It's a safety thing, guys.
It was a charge. I mean, he was in stride across the ice and took it. Hit him. That's just our opinion. We're Blues fans, duh. But even if I wasn't a Blues fan, everyone always say this, right? But it was a bad hit. You just can't do that. I still think we should have won this game. Hofer was unreal. 25 of 26 against the defending champions. It was a good game. It was a great game. We got a point. Should have got two.
Yep.
All right. Then 3 days off, we were road tripping back home from Florida to face the Detroit Red Wings, who have been horrible this year.
The Yicer plan is starting to get down to
it. It's done.
But the prospects he has in the tournament right now makes me go, maybe it's not. But like at this point, have we been saying the prospects are coming? The prospects are coming.
Well, the thing with him is he hasn't said they're retooling or rebuilding.
Yeah.
He hasn't said anything like that like Doug Armstrong has. So the fans are pissed, and I would be too. I'm not even a fan, and I'm upset. I want Detroit to be in the playoffs, man. Like, that's – the Red Wings are in a big drought right now. They need to get back, and I feel bad for Larkin. Like,
yeah, it makes you wonder what this team's going to look like next year.
We'll see. Supposedly, they've been talking to Buffalo about trades and stuff, and I'm like, why would you two trade with each other? Anyways, they came into St. Louis. We destroyed them. I mean, it was a bloodbath. 4-0 win. Bennington came in, got a shutout after a bad game against the Lightning. Holloway had his first career hat trick. Loved the kid. He's third in the team in points right now, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Texier played first line minutes. Ripped a beautiful wrister. So he scored the fourth goal and yeah, took advantage of a bad team. And that's what you got to do to make the playoffs. And it's just something that has to, you can't, I know that hockey isn't guaranteed. Cam Jansen mentioned that on the radio after today's game against the Sabres. She's like, you can't win. Any team can beat any team, but you literally have to win. Like, you have to find something to win these games, and we did against Detroit there, so good for us.
And here's the thing. So you can tell we're in a retool if Alexander Texier is playing on your first line. But in retrospect, I mean, he gave you everything he could in that game and had a great game. But we're still missing pieces, and that's where I know that we're still at a retool and why I'm really worried about the ability to make the playoffs this year after watching these kind of games where the – secondary scoring is not there. The power play is abysmal. And I thought it would just take some time because Montgomery ran the power play when he was here as an assistant and they were lights out. But I think we just don't have the players to have a lights out power play right now. And it's pain. It's hard to watch because that's why we're losing games right now, is because specialty teams is killing us.
Yeah. And I'll talk more into that myself when we get to today's game against the Sabres. All right, so win against Detroit at home. Christmas break.
Yep.
Needed it. We're going into it with a win. Awesome. We come out of it on the 27th. We play the Predators at home. Chaos. 7-4 win. It was 2-1 in like the first whatever amount of minutes, and I tweeted out, this might be a high scoring game. And then it was 5-3, like going into the third. I was like, this is just insane.
Yeah.
Goaltending wasn't around, which didn't matter to us. We actually scored goals. Fowler's best game is a Blue, for sure.
Yes.
A goal, 2 assists. He was on the ice for 6 of our 7. Amazing. Thomas had 2 goals. Holloway had 2 assists. Just a great overall game for the offense. Goaltending was okay. Letting in 4 any other day is not good. But pulling out a 7 spot against a central rival, against a team that's bad right now for some reason, is good. All right, let's go into today's game against the Sabres. I was going into this not thinking we can, but we need to win. It was Bennington's third start in a row now? Or did Hofer play against Nashville?
I don't know that one off the top of my head.
I don't remember. Anyway, Bennington came in. He needed to play well. He didn't. It was 2-0 in the first period, and he let in 2 goals on 3 shots. Now, I will say the first one was a beauty set play, 1T. Literally almost no chance. The second one, was Tage Thompson just was able to walk into the middle of the ice and snipe home, and that's the last guy you want that.
I was going to say, him just reminding us why it hurts a little bit that we traded him.
Yeah, it'll never hurt when we won, you know.
That's true.
But still, just the defense needs to lay a body on him there to get a stick out. After that, like, we came back 2-1, 2-2. Blues had so many shots on that. It was crazy. We outshot the crap out of Sabres, but it just didn't seem quality. It was kind of one and done. So we weren't really pressuring as much as we could have. We were gifted like two or three power plays this game.
Yeah.
We were, what, 0 for 5? 0 for 4 today?
I think 0 for 4, 3. 3 or 4. We were 0
for 4 today, and we had like maybe 5 shots on the power play. Just you can't. Like, you cannot only get one shot on the net during a power play, especially when you have Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, Holloway, Falk, and whoever else on the first power play unit. Like, someone just shoot it. Well, and I hate being that person to say just shoot it, but at some point, just rip it at the pads.
And here's the
get
thing.
Get a rebound. You know?
We were shooting some, but the amount of shots that missed the net was painful. They were shooting high. They were hitting the boards. Or if you're a Blues power play unit right now, strategically, it's very easy to beat. All you have to do is just apply pressure up high on them because they just bounce the puck between the four guys, technically, and they just go to the bumper spot, and then we can't feed it into the middle. And if we do feed it in the middle, no one's there to actually capitalize on it. And it's painful to watch.
Yeah, it makes me think that Montgomery knows that we're not skating. I think that Kyrou needs to kind of almost take advantage of his speed and be a McDavid type of power play player. If you know what I mean, where he's kind of just buzzing around, skating, tiring out players. Maybe let Thomas do that in the corners because he's so strong on the puck. But standing around and passing up top just obviously isn't going to work.
In recent games, so like you go from being a wrist shot power play unit to now looking for the one-timer every single time. I get Dylan Holloway scored a couple goals on the one-timer. I know Shen's shooting the one-timer. But now it's like, all right, you can do the one-timer, but that's not your only play. So you got to do both here. And I think that was the painful part to watch, is that it was just one thing after another. And I will give respect. Like, there was some luck going for Buffalo. But Buffalo capitalized on their power plays, too. So, like,
it's literally the difference maker. Kerber said that.
Specialty teams killed us.
If Buffalo didn't have a power player or two in that first period, I mean, we're winning the game.
I think my biggest thing, though, I will say about the power play and the frustration I have, and God love him, I love Sonny. I really do. But the player he is right now is not the player of previous years. He's had ACL, knee injury, just so many injuries that he just does not have the speed. Please explain to me why he is on your second power play unit right now. Because I'm sorry, he's a fourth line player at this point, and he does everything for you, and he gives you all of his heart. I'd never question his heart or his dedication to this team or the organization. But I'm sorry, he's not made for the second power play unit. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know who to put there right now. I don't know if Justin Falk really should be a guy leading a power play unit on the point either. Cam Fowler's doing a better job, and he's been here shorter. We were hot and cold on Philip Broberg running the point of the power play too. And at this point, I'd rather play two defensemen on that unit on the second and put Falk and Broberg out there and go three forwards.
Yeah.
Because it just is not working.
Yeah, I think Montgomery's got to figure it out. He can. I think he just knows he's limited and he wants to win faceoffs more than anything, but Sonny's just not even doing that.
No.
I'd rather
Shen wins your faceoff there.
I'd rather you put Walker in.
Yeah, right now. Honestly,
anyone.
If we're talking about a guy that can go in front of the net, like, why not put Tochenko out there? Like, you put him up in the lineup. Put a big body in front of the net. Like,
yeah.
Or at this point, and when we talk about the World Juniors, we have prospects that when they are here will fill these spots. And I know that's why we're in a retool. But Dalibor Dvorsky is making the bumper spot his bread and butter of one-time shots and just moving the puck.
Yeah, he looks really good right now.
Or a Jimmy Snuggaroo on your second power play unit. I think you're getting the wrist shot in that upper echelon of shooting ability that we need.
Yeah.
We don't have the secondary scoring that can help with the secondary power play unit right now.
Well, if there's one thing we know how to pass.
Yeah. We are great passers, okay?
They're just not getting anyone to move. Like, if you want to really score on the power play and keep it simple, you pass to make people move. And if you're not making them move, then they just have all the energy in the world to break your play up. So you can't force stuff. you gotta keep it simple, but you gotta be passing with a purpose. That's kind of just what I want to say.
No.
Consistent, as we said before, we're 500 again, 17-17 and 4. Well, technically we're 17-21. Fowler played in number 999 tonight. He will play in 1,000 at the Winter Classic. Little round of applause for Cam Fowler. He's been so good. Everyone, like half the fan base didn't get the trade. It made the most sense, man. Like, I don't even care about age anymore. I just care that you can play the game consistently, and that is Cam Fowler. So good for him, and I'm happy he's here.
Yeah, I think for those Blues fans, if you're a number guy, so he's played in 8 games. Okay, cool. What has he done in those 8 games? He has a goal. He has 4 assists. He's a +5. He's running your first power play unit. He does have 4 penalty minutes, but the biggest thing that I think everyone needs to take away, he is averaging 22 minutes on ice. 22. Okay? So either you could have did Suter in this role, trying to survive with Suter playing 22 minutes, or Cam Fowler, who can skate, run a power play unit, just makes the easy right plays. I'll take Suter. And I think right now we have to talk about this as Blues fans.
I'll take Fowler.
Fowler, this trade, in my comparison, is similar to an older J-Bo acquisition. This guy is steady. He's playing with Parayko. He's doing everything right for you. And we got another year of him next year, and I'm really interested to see what Steen and Doug Armstrong does with him. But, I mean, he's doing everything right now for you, and I love it. And we had talked about him as a guy that the Blues should look at. And he's getting paid $4 million for you right now? Heck yeah. That's a great acquisition. Cam Fowler is everything and more that the Blues needed right now. And he is just eating minutes, which is the most important thing for us.
Yeah, and people are so funny about money and contracts. And, you know, they're up in arms about a Letty or a Fowler making $4 million. You know, and then people are also up in arms that Blackwood's making 5.25. It's like, well, maybe they deserve it. You know, like, don't you realize? We just read off Blackwood's stats. He might be worth more right now. So they got a steal for 5 years. At least right now they do. And that's what we're thinking right now. Oh, we got a Cam Fowler who's 5 points in 8 games. He's playing 22 minutes a night on our top pair and running a top power play unit, even though it stinks right now. And he's getting paid $4 million. Like, that's a steal. And like you said, Jay Bouwmeester was just the epitome of the perfect player. Like, it's just truly a hockey just genius with the puck. I miss him every day. I hope he's doing well. Love you, J-Boy.
We miss you, J-Bo.
Do you love skating but hate having to drive out of your way to have fun? Skate St. Louis can help. Skate St. Louis is a locally owned roller skating operation designed to bring unique activities directly to you. Created by co-owners Augustin Boydell and Brendan Religa, Skate St. Louis provides skates, safety, and entertainment equipment for all ages by turning parking lots, indoor facilities, parks, greenways, and more into amazing roller skating experiences. Go to www.skatestl.com. Email them at contact at skatestl.com or call/text them at 314-745-6096 for more details. Remember, support local St. Louis businesses, y'all.
Looking for a premium handcrafted leather goods that can last a lifetime? At Valent Leather Works, they specialize in custom design leather products made of the finest materials with expert craftsmanship. From wallets to belts to bags to accessories, each piece is crafted with finite attention and detail, built to stand the test of time. With a lifetime warranty, elevate your style with luxury that speaks for itself. Valent Leather. I personally have Valent Leather products, and I'm looking at getting another one here in the next couple of days. He's working on a wallet for me. Please go to his website. He is doing free custom engravings with each order. So just go to valentleather.com, valentleather.com, and place an order, guys. This is great quality products. John is a great guy, great customer service. He is a veteran, and we love our veteran-run companies, and he is in the healthcare world with me. So please support John and support local. He has great handcrafted items, guys, and I cannot say more about it.
All right, let's get into World Juniors. This is all you, man. I'll start off it with a little intro. You've been the one who's – I haven't had time. I'm sorry. But no, you're the one who's been watching and keeping track of stats and stuff, and I appreciate it. If you guys keep track of like our Instagram and stuff, we posted some a reel and some bios for all the Blues prospects, and go check them out. World Junior Classic is just an awesome tournament. You watch the world's best young players who have been drafted or not represent their countries and go all out with passionate. Just this is what hockey's all about. It's especially fun for us because we have the most prospects in the tournament. Nine prospects representing their country. I'm going to go down to up because the first guy's like our guy. Colin Ralph, we drafted him later in the rounds. He's a defenseman. He plays for USA. He's three games played. He has an assist. Nice. He bounced back, I heard, after his first game. So yeah,
rough first game, but he's really turned it around on a powerhouse team.
Love that. Stonzel, this guy has been nuts for Czech. He played in two games. He has 7 points, 4 goals, 3 assists, and he's a +8. Now, they played Kazakhstan, right? So one of the games was Kazakhstan, and he lit up Kazakhstan for like a hat trick, I think. Yep. But good for him. That's unreal still. Adam Dzeko, 3 games played for Czech. He's got a goal and 2 assists, and he's a +4. Good for him. Andrej Kas, Czech player as well. A goal in 3 games. Juracek, he's got an assist in 3 games. He is a +5, so he is out there for goals and stuff, just not producing as much as we'd think he would. Theo Lindstein on the back end for Sweden. He's got 2 assists in 3 games. He's a +2. We love that. This is our guy for sure.
Yep.
We've been talking about him for a while. Otto Stenberg for Sweden. He's got a goal and 3 assists in 2 games. Good for him. And now for the Slovakians, it's Juraj Pekarčič, I believe.
Pekarčič.
Yeah. An assist in 3 games. Good for him. And then Mr. Dvorsky has 2 goals and an assist in 3 games. And both of those goals were like absolute beauties. You can see him on our Twitter. Or you can just look up his name. It'll pop up. And he's been really good in the AHL, too. Cannot wait till he's playing NHL hockey, man. I want to watch him play every game. Good for him. Now,
I think the guys that out of this tournament, so there's like 4 guys, but Dalibor Dvorsky and Jakub Stonsel on a line together is going to be lights out, and I cannot wait, and it makes me giddy thinking about it because Stonsel is just as exciting of a prospect as Dvorsky, in my opinion, and I think Blues fans are just now realizing it, and it's going to be fantastic for this organization.
Yeah, he's a big boy too, isn't he, Stonsel? He's a massive guy, so he's gonna be almost like a not this caliber, but almost like a McDavid Drysdale pairing. You know what I mean? Big guy, smaller guy, quickness, love it. All right, Group A. Let's just list them off: Canada, USA, Finland, Latvia, Germany. Group B is Sweden, Czechia, Slovakia, Kazakhstan, and Switzerland. As you all know, there was a crazy upset of Latvia over Canada. We'll go into that a little bit. And yeah, I'll give it over to Josh because he's the guru of all this stuff.
All right. So World Junior Hockey, it is the Boxing Day start off of Canada. It is the epitome of prospect hockey. So we talked about groups. Starting with USA, I'm going to do a little breakdown of each team. So USA is the favorite team. They won the gold last year. They are here on a mission. They are returning 10 players on this team. Okay. So they are stacked from top to bottom with NHL prospects, NHL draft picks. And let's be honest, I think they have 6 first round draft picks on their team currently. And then Colin Ralph, who's a Blues draft pick, who was drafted, I think, 48th overall for him. So powerhouse team, great goaltending. Their goaltender, if you have a chance, look him up. He does have a chance to medal in almost 4 in a row World Junior Championships because he has been on 4 teams now. So stud team. That being said, they were upset today. They lost to Finland. So they lost to Finland overtime. They are still sitting in the first place spot, though, in Group A. All right. Canada, a lot of question marks on this team going in. Canada, when they were assembling this team, I did have some question marks. They left 3 or 4 guys that were leading point scorers in their divisions. So in the CHL, in the OHL, like guys that I had really big question marks on. And I'm now starting to question why they didn't add them, because scoring has been a little bit of an issue and a struggle as they got upset by Latvia. Canada, though, finished 5th, a little bit of a tough pill to swallow last year. They did return 5 players from their underperforming team last year, but this team entering with 10 first-round draft picks on it. So, like, let's be honest, they should be competing at a high level. It's Canada. There's no exception, and I think that country cried a little bit when you lost to Latvia, and I don't blame you. But props to Latvia. That was a heck of a game. Fantastic play. And the guy that I want to give a shout out to on that game is Linders Felderbergs, who was the goalie for Latvia. I'm pretty sure stopped 52 shots. Holy crap. Like, yeah, good for you guys.
You know what's funny is Artur Shelov's is Latvian too. And he kind of had that same like moment, you know. Latvians breeding some goalies. Good for them. That is truly one of the biggest upsets in World Junior history. I don't feel bad for Canada. Let's go Latvia, baby. I'm rooting for them now.
Which is a huge game for Latvia in the relegation process as well, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. Next team up, Finland. Finland's coming in with some very unfinished business after last season, losing the bronze medal game. And then they've not won the World Junior Championship since 2014. So this team, not as much of a superstar studded team, but very hardworking team. And that is the key for them to push for a medal again in this tournament, is a lot of hard working to make up for the lack of scoring on this roster. And as of right now, they upset the US, and that's a good first step about progressing towards the championship rounds and competitive rounds after this round robin. All right. Team we've talked about so much, Latvia. Didn't know a lot about this team coming into the tournament. The biggest thing I had for them is avoid relegation. Okay. And as of right now, they're pretty clear going to avoid relegation. So props to them. The team, though, is looking to Urkis Matiko and Linders Felderbergen are the two guys that I think people will take away from this Latvia roster as really big guys. I believe Linders will be draft eligible this year, so I'm very interested to see where he does get drafted. He is playing in the QMJHL currently, where he has some pretty solid stats. He's 11-4-2 with a 2.51 goals against and an 899 save percentage. That being said, the QMJHL is like the freaking scoring crazy league. So, I mean, for him to still have those good statistics, props to him, and he's showing it in the World Juniors. But Latvia, props to them. It's a smaller country, really, in the grand scheme of hockey. So good for them, and they're having a solid tournament, in my opinion. They're fun to watch. They're excited. The guys are excited, and that's the best part. Next team up, Germany. So Team Germany beat Norway in the 2024 World Juniors to avoid relegation and stay in the top level. That being said, they returned five players from that team, and I think they really need to build upon this roster, but they've come in and drastically underperformed. And I really think Germany is going to be on the relegation block again this season. That being said, next team, Sweden. Oh my gosh. Now, there's a lot of people that questioned if this team was going to have the scoring power, if this team was going to be star-studded. They're going to be just fine. Sweden is a powerhouse in junior hockey and only getting better. And I have to say, part of that, I think, has to do with Alexander Steen, who went back and helped the Swedish Hockey Federation in developing and growing that. And they just keep making studs. Sweden does have two of your Blues prospects, that of Theo Lindstein and Otto Stenberg. Lindstein, who we have talked about so much in this podcast, is a stud. He's playing the first pair. He has not had the offensive drive that I think a lot of people wanted to see, but he has played a phenomenal shutdown role for this team. And then the people of the World Junior Classic, NHL Network, everyone that has talked to World Juniors cannot stop talking about Otto Stenberg. He's a leader, passer, great skill, great two-way forward. I think they've said his two-way game has improved so much that it is going to help him transition to the North American game so much. And I think a lot of that has to do is both these players are playing the Swedish Hockey League. And they're playing with men. So you can tell that they are at a whole other level. And this Swedish team is stacked from top to bottom, in my opinion. And they have some of the best defensemen in the tournament, in my opinion. So Team Sweden, I think they're really going to push for a gold medal.
No surprise that their defense is good. They've produced some of the best defensemen in the history of the NHL. I hope Lindstein can be someone that the Blues keep forever if he can really be that guy. We haven't had a Swedish defender since well, Broberg now. So Broberg, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Gunnarsson, but yeah. No, yeah. Let's go. So maybe Broberg, Lindstein, you know, that'd be sick pairing.
Lindstein is going to be a household name for Blues fans, okay? And I think people need to understand Otto Stenberg is going to help this team substantially in the next couple of years. I think we're going to see Stenberg before Theo, but I think by 2027, both of them are on the Blues roster. And
I think by 2027, I think this team is, people don't realize it, but we're going to be so much better than we are right now. Yeah. Like
the skill level is going to be insane.
It should be, you know, Hofer should be your number one and Binnie can back up. I mean, Binnington as a backup is probably the best thing that can happen to this team. So yeah. They'll just, on top of getting all these prospects we're talking about, is just huge, man. Like, the patience is hard as a fan, but with time will be great again, man. So, all right, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. we're almost through. I know there's quite a few teams that I've kind of went through. We're hitting some teams that have the Blues prospects now, though. So the Czech team, I honestly think they are underrated in this tournament, and I think they're going to give Canada, they're going to give U.S., they're going to give a lot of teams a hard time. That being said, this team will look for a lot with their main guys, Edward Sale. He's a prospect of the Kraken, and he is an offensive beast. The other guys they will be looking at after coming back, after having a bronze medal this year, is Jakob Stanzel. He is a key factor for this team. He is the epitome of a power forward. And I want to give a little comparison on how they're built. Evgeny Malkin's about 6'3", to mid-200s. Stotzel's 6'3", mid-200s. I can't but help see a comparison here going forward of Stotzel. I really, and that may be jumping the gun a little bit, but Stotzel is going to be a stud for us. Also with this, the Blues have Adam Dzeko. He's 6'5", power forward, gets to the front of the net. He is a stud, and he is only getting better. The other two players on this roster, though, that Adam Jurkic, who we drafted this last year as a first-round draft pick, is coming off a knee injury. He was playing in the OHL. He's getting there. He was put on this roster. He might not be producing offensively, but he is steady. He's a +5, playing a great two-way defensive game, and will also be a factor. I think he's a 3-4 defenseman for us going forward, which is huge. And defensemen don't grow on trees, and he's got the pedigree. His brother plays for Minnesota, wasn't in Columbus. I would have loved to get him, but I think Adam will be just as good or better than his brother. The other two players, so we had talked about Dzeko and then Andre Kos. Kos is having an okay tournament. He does have a goal. He's more of a nitty-gritty kind of player, plays a physical game, look for a little more development. I don't know as much about him. He's out of the four guys on this team. I think he's number four. But I think there's a lot to be said about this Czech team going forward. Following suit, Slovakia, who has captained by the one, the only, Dalibor Dvorsky. They're looking to medal for the second time since 2015. They returned a decent amount of players, but I think a lot of it had to do with some lacking in scoring. The Blues, Dalibor is the cornerstone of this team, and you can tell he is the centerpiece of their power play, their penalty kill. He plays a lot of minutes. He's averaging almost 20-something minutes every game as a forward. He's playing on the power play, where he plays a heck of a bumper on that power play unit with a great one-time shot, and his two goals have been beautiful one-time shots from that side. So, Slovakia, I don't know if they're going to medal. I think there's some other teams. It's going to come down to between, I think, this Czech team, the Sweden team, U.S., and I think Finland, in all honesty. So, I think there's some other things to be said there. That being said, Kazakhstan, yikes. I think they're the relegation team. I mean, they're returning 14 players, and they're really hoping to have a bounce-back tournament, but you got annihilated by that Czech team. And Kazakhstan's just outmanned. There's not much I can say about this Kazakhstan team. Lastly, Switzerland. They had a lot of question marks going into this tournament. Where was their offense going to come from? Did they have enough skill? But their main focus was on Simon Meyer, who is draft eligible going into 2025. That being said, I do believe Switzerland does have a 15-year-old playing on their team this year. So very interested to see what will come about that guy. But he's playing pretty good tournament from what I've seen. But that being said, current standings right now, USA is leading Group A with Finland in second place. And then Group B, the Czech team is leading. Is a tie technically between the Czech and Sweden team, but there's a tiebreaker that Czech went out on. Relegation watch, I think it's going to come down to two teams this year. Germany will be back in that relegation game, followed by Kazakhstan. I truly think Germany is a better team than Kazakhstan. But Germany, I'm sorry, you go from having the Tim Stutzels to this team, which is just sad because Germany was a powerhouse there for a little bit with some really skilled guys. And I think we're just seeing the ebb and flows of the time. But World Juniors, folks, it's a fun time. It's some of the best junior hockey that you'll ever see. And it's exciting. And I think for Blues fans, it's even more exciting because we do have 9 prospects representing our organization and representing their countries. So if you can ever have a little bit of time, there's a lot of games going on almost every day. NHL Network has them on. Tune in, watch the games. They're fun to watch. They're playing in Ottawa. They're playing at the Ottawa 67s arena, and it's a pretty cool arena. So tune in and follow us for more World Junior coverage. I will try to keep up on it and keep you up to date. If I don't have it, Mike Myers on Twitter or X, also a great source for all of World Junior coverage as well as Blues prospects.
Yeah. Shout out Mike Meyer. He's a legend I love his Twitter page.
Oh, he's so good.
I just looked up Simon Meyer to see if he's related to Timu, but no, he has a twin brother though.
Oh, okay.
Like, he has another brother, I believe. It's just not Tebow, which is hilarious. Thanks, bro. This is just insane to me. Like, the depth of hockey that people don't understand, and even me sometimes, is like so deep rooted in Europe.
Yeah.
And Russia and all those teams. It's not just Americans and Canadians, man. Some of the best players that I've ever seen are Russian or Swedish, you know, or Finnish. Yeah. So insane stuff. I'm so excited for these guys to play, like, especially Dvorsky and Stonsel, dude, and Lindstein and Stenberg. So we'll see if they can come sooner rather than later. I don't want to rush them. I think that 2027 is probably a good bet. If I had to pick a team to win, I think it's USA. I honestly think Sweden could sneak in for a medal, for third maybe. And then I don't know about silver. Canada is kind of just weird right now. I know that their prospects are good. I just think their team that they built isn't as good as USA's. So I just don't see it happening unless it's, you know, another upset or something.
So I really think your gold medal game is going to be Sweden versus USA again.
That'd be great.
And then I think your bronze medal game is going to be, I think Finland beats out Canada.
That'd be cool.
I don't know. I think your safe bet's probably Czech versus Canada game.
Yeah.
And I think the Czechs beat Canada, in my opinion, and Canada goes home with a medalist tournament. But that being said, I think USA is too good. I know they lost in overtime today, but they're just built different, and their captain is like, the world's against us, and we love that, and we're ready to take it on.
Yeah.
So, and also, if your goal song is Freebird, oh, let's go. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Whoever put that together is a genius. It's awesome. All right. Let's get back to the NHL. The Blues. We're going outdoors, baby. Tomorrow. Well, tomorrow for you. The 31st. New Year's Eve, which is, to me, is different. We played on the 2nd. When it was here, and then Minnesota, I think it was on New Year's Day. So I don't know why they're pulling it back again. But it's at 4 p.m. at Wrigley. Blues, Blackhawks. This is the Blackhawks' 7th outdoor game, I think. They are 1-5 in the 6 games they've played.
Of course they are.
Which is hilarious because New York is 5-0. The Rangers. So good for you, Chicago. I'm sure their fans are loving the new jerseys, but I don't know if they want to play another outdoor game because they just seem to lose them. They do have they're 7-8 at home this year. It's technically home. And then they're 4-6 in their last 10. I looked up the record for Blues versus Blackhawks in the history of our franchises. I think they're like 130-113 against us. So that makes us like 113-130 against them. So it's really not that bad. It's been decently even. I think they only have like 70 more goals scored against us. It's something weird like that. Been close for years. The Blues are 4-4-2 in their last 10. We are better on the road. 4-1 in our last 5 against the Blackhawks. We're 2-0 in outdoor games. I'm really excited for this because we just seem to play better when it's outside. I'm excited for Fowler to get his 1,000th game.
Talk about a memorable 1,000th game. Like,
unreal.
Like it's great.
Is he the only player to ever play 1,000th or a milestone game at the Winter Classic?
I feel like he is. This could be a trivia question someday, folks.
We'll look it up. We'll have to we should just look that up right now. good for him, man. I love Cam Fowler. Kyrou, Kyrou holds the record for most points in a single outdoor game in NHL history with four. He had 4 points in 2022 against where we routed Minnesota. That game was so much fun to watch. Can't believe we dominated them like that in the icy winter like that. It was so great. I hope we can do the same against Chicago. I guess it's not going to be that cold, bro. I was thinking it was going to be snowy in Chicago, but I don't think it's going to be that bad. And then I am pretty positive of this stat here. Colton Parayko is the only Blues player to play in these three Winter Classics. I don't think Sundqvist was on the team in 2017, and I don't think Schenn was either. So I think it's just Parayko, which is nuts. And I heard him on, I think it was BK Ferrario or Curbs, and they were saying that, no, it was Kerber and Cam Jansen. They were saying that Parayko, if all said and done, might be the first Blues player to play 1,000 games in only a Blues sweater. And the rarity of that is the Blues are the only team in the expansion era to not have their most games played player over 1,000 games. Bernie has 927 as the team lead, which is also crazy. But it makes sense because the Blues have always been just kind of the house of taking in old players. We've always been that team. So that's pretty cool. Hopefully it's Parayko and Thomas can do that. 1,000 games in a blue sweater would be awesome, man. So Winter Classic, I mean, it's a 50-50 shot in these games. Who knows how the ice is going to be? Who knows? Just anything could happen. I like our odds just because we've been playing well against Chicago. We played great outside. It is a completely different team. It's really just a fun time. I can't even be mad if, you know, we lose in overtime or something. I just don't want it to be a blowout. And yeah, I say Blues win.
I think Blues win this game.
We have to win. You have to win. We mentioned it before we started recording. You have to win against the Central the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And this is the start of it. We should have won tonight against the Sabres, but that's gone now. Is there any other winter? Chance the Rapper's performing. That's cool for Chicago. And then the Smashing Pumpkins, I think, are too. So that's cool. We really wanted to go to this, dude, but it was way too expensive, guys. Yeah. We were looking at tickets, and it's the 500 level. It's over $500 or whatever. I'm not worth the trip on New Year's Eve.
I think the cool thing, I think tomorrow the Blues have, it's called the Blues Express. So you can ride the train up from St. Louis. It was about $150. They take you up. Was it tomorrow?
Yeah, it
has take to the be train tomorrow. Up tomorrow, and then you come back at 9 something that the after the game.
Oh, so it's a little day trip. So you go up there on the 30th.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you get your hotel or whatever.
You get your hotel, you stay the night, and then you take the train back with a bunch of Blues fans, which I think would have been
much fun.
Yeah, would have loved to do that. But that being said, tickets were just outrageous.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But to those going, please let us know how it was. It looks like it's going to be so much fun. I hope we do have another Winter Classic. Hope we have one here in St. Louis. I would love to attend the game and just be part of it. I got to do all the festivities for the one that was here, and I went to the alum game, but I didn't get to go to the actual game. So looking forward to this.
Dude, the one here was so much fun. It was almost like an anomaly. You know, it was a year before we won or two years before we won the whole thing.
I looked up the rosters.
So much fun. Berglund, Fabry.
Yeah,
Shattenkirk. Who else was on that
Gunnarsson,
team?
Edmondson, Scotty Upshaw, Yori Laterra, Robbie Fabry, Schwartz, Bomeister, Steen, Berge, Shattenkirk, Dmitry Yaskin, Paul Stastny.
Oh, I love Stastny.
Petrangelo, Kyle Brodziak, Colton Parayko, David Perron, Ryan Reeves, Vladimir Tarasenko, and your two goalies, Jake Allen, Carter Hutton. But the best part is the players that were scratched. Mike knows why. Ty Ratty, Nail Yakupov, and Brad Hunt, man.
Can you believe those three names are just crazy to hear? Can you believe we had Nail Yakupov? People, number one overall pick, scored one of the funniest goals in like Oilers history, where he scored that winner and he slid all the way across the ice on his knees. It was like a regular season game. He just loved to play, but he wasn't any good, man. I think he did go back to like the KHL and played pretty well, though, if I'm not mistaken. But those are some crazy names to hear. Yeah. So I will say that Parayko's going to be the only one to play in all three. Good for you, Parayko. Yeah. Good for you, buddy. We love you. Yeah, I don't think I have anything else for Winter Classic. If you, yeah, send us pictures, post them on your story, tag us. Just we'll retweet them or whatever, or post them on our story as well. We can't wait. It's always a lot of fun. And it's 2025, everybody. All your New Year's resolutions, I hope they flourish or come true or whatever you're wishing for. We have the World Junior Finals in the first week of January that you'll hear from us. And then we're going to start doing some like player report cards for the Blues. Yep. Maybe like two or three an episode, just letter grades A through F or whatever. Hopefully there's no Fs. Probably will be. Yeah, we'll post some graphics about that. And then we're still trying to, I'm helping Josh learn how to like edit and stuff. Yeah. So we'll do that. So we're both going to be kind of involved on social media more than just like me only on Twitter, him only on Instagram. So we can kind of both dabble. And then hopefully we can get interviews, you know, just only up from here, guys. We love you. Let's go Blues. Josh, anything to add?
Yeah, I'm excited for 2025, and I hope all of you guys are as well. We've kind of been learning along the way here, but yeah. I think we have a lot more that we're going to roll out come the new year, and some exciting stuff that we've been working on. So stay tuned. Please spread the word. Spread, share, follow. We love you all. Biggest thing, though, you just got to get our name out there. The more we grow, the more opportunities we will have to bring more insider content to you guys. And I can't wait. Mike and I love doing this. And this is started out as just kind of a why not, let's do it. But it's really turned into a passion of ours. And we can't thank you enough. So thank you so much for sharing and listening each week to us. We love you guys. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Much love. Let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues.